from Saratoga Racecourse. Yes, it's a surprise. I didn't expect to be here myself. But then when Dick Powell said, are you going to be broadcasting from the track tomorrow? And Lafitte Pinkai the third, LP3, when LP3 texted me and said, are you at the track tomorrow? And then Seth Merrow, who's back on the backside, testing the Capital OTB infrastructure, such as it is, between a Mr. Seth Merrow, a Mr. Lafitte Pinkai the third, and a Mr. Dick Powell, how could we not come over? And it's an absolutely glorious day. Much to the appreciation of the throng of people waiting to see Lou Cabell. Lou, the most popular guy when it comes to the beginning of the Saratoga season. Horses making their way on the bridle path. It's got to be maybe, I'm going to say, 74 degrees, Dick Powell. Could it be a nicer morning?
My car said 77. I wore a short sleeve shirt. I was worried about being warm enough. Cold. No problem. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Well, same thing here, and I could not resist, and I'm glad I did. We'll be here tomorrow, of course, for opening day as well. So let me say, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website, stevebick.com, and you're hearing the descriptions through the very sensitive microphones. Dick, excited about the Happy Valley action. And how many races we got left?
Four. They've run five. There's four left. And then 10 or 11 at Chatin on Saturday night. Saturday morning, Friday night. They're a day early this week. So the whole season wraps up Friday night. West Coast time, Saturday morning, East Coast time. Yeah. So we're coming up to a fast finish, and it won't be long before they're up and running again.
Pretty exciting, too. We'll talk when you lay out a couple of options, and we'll probably take in at least one of the races this morning. Let me tell you what's going on in addition to Dick's presence here as we wind down the Hong Kong Jockey Club season and take about a 6.5-7 week hiatus before things resume. Nicole Russo is going to join us in about 15 minutes, give or take, and we will get a review of day one, not just day one, really, but day one of the overall yearling sale season. The market yesterday, outstanding, and it was, you know, clicking along nicely anyway, and then all of a sudden, the last yearling through the ring, Hillendale's Curlin, unbelievable, $600,000 for a Curlin colt. Hip 302, and that led the day and helped the ledger. And in fact, our friends at the Green Group and the Green family, John and Father Len, DJ Stable, who are well represented on these first couple of days of racing at Saratoga, they take home not just that Curlin, but I saw at least one other, maybe more. So the extended presence of DJ Stable, of Len and John Green, and they take partners on as well. But DJ Stable, quite prominent on this first yearling sale opportunity. The July sale, and of course on Monday, the horse of racing age portion of the bidding, and a very active market there. I'll save some of the other specifics and successes for Nicole. Again, we didn't want to take away from Jessica Martini's visit, and I don't want to take away from Nicole's visit this morning. Obviously, the first crop. Horses, a big part of things in the conversation. So we'll talk to Nicole and get a read, and then attention will turn toward Saratoga and the opportunity here for the boutique sale in New York, and the week after, the New York bred yearling, and then we go to Keeneland. So underway when it comes to yearling sales. Sid Fernando is going to join us. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. I have not sprung this on Tony yet, but I got to send Tony a note, and we will maybe get Tony in today. That probably is a good idea to get Tony's visit. Going to also have, as I mentioned, Lafitte Pinkai III is going to be here in hour three. Seth will come over as soon as they finish testing over at the studio, which, of course, is across from the 7-furlong chute in the back corner of the backside here at Saratoga. And when it comes to chutes, by the way, Dick, did you watch any of the video of the little six-horse test yesterday of the Wilson chute?
Did not talk to someone, drove by today. Looks real good. It'll be interesting if I can, as a handicapper, if there's an edge, I'm willing to take it.
You're looking to find it. They're trying to make decisions. The first race, which is the Wilton tomorrow, 9 horses in there, and they're trying to make a decision if 10 is going to be the max. And Johnny Velasquez hinted that they thought that a 10th is possible. They also thought, they'll know more tomorrow in race conditions. Yesterday, apparently, the jocks, including Javier Castellano, leaving some room and not really race riding in a 6-horse test out of the gate. But, nobody should continue to reference that 1998 or whatever year it was test.
Way back. 92.
It's a pointless. It's a pointless whenever you want. How about 10:30? Early is better. 10, I got set. How about 9:40? There we go. All right. You don't mind. What else you got to do all day? This is not like that test. That test was basically plopping a gate at a hinky angle.
Yes.
This is a full-fledged, and in fact, Ed DeRosa provided a bit of a service yesterday, I thought, showing the stats from Ellis Park that has the closest approximation of what this is. Ellis has got a fairly similar chute that offers the same kind of configuration. So I thought that was good that Ed dug that out and made the connection. But this is a different animal.
The biggest thing to complain about for me is a mile and a 16th at Belmont only in a turf. That configuration is just god awful.
It's tough.
And so, okay, somehow we survived that and bad trips, whatever, and then this will be interesting. Now, when this was announced, Steve, you and I were on, and I remember I made a couple of points, and one of them was I wouldn't be in favor of running two-year-olds on this course.
A couple of people made that comment, the jocks yesterday.
That has come up. Be curious to see how the outside post does. Now, I think the outside post is going to be all right because there's not going to be a lot of space. Horses break into space, so
yes,
there's not going to be much out there, so that should be okay. And then the question is, well, what about the inside? I know they're going to have some temporary rail structure up.
They've got a rail that basically it's a guide for horses to to basically keep from taking a left turn onto the track.
Yep. So now, with my eyesight, when I saw the Wilson Mile having a stake race on it, and I saw WIL. I didn't see the T. I thought it was the Wilson Stakes being run on the Wilson Show, which made all the sense in the world to me. So then I see it's the Wilton. I live in Milton, not Wilton. So I see it's the Wilton Stakes. So.
Well, and I have said before, every or at least a number of the communities around town are well represented, and Greenwich. Greenwich technically has got there's a race being run. I think tomorrow I noticed, or might be on Friday on the overnight. I saw one of those named races, And, you know, if anybody, if you're curious and if you're coming here and you want to name a race for, I'm thinking of having a, when my mother passed, we, Gary was nice enough to do a Gloria Bick race at the end of the meet. And I'm kind of thinking about a Herb and Gloria Bick race. It's $1,000 to name a race, and mm-hmm. it could be a maiden race, could be an allowance, could be even a claiming race, doesn't matter. If you want to have an experience for the family, you want to, you know, you had a relative that loved the races, loved yep. coming here, whatever connection, you know, a bar mitzvah, a christening, whatever momentous occasion or, you know, honoree that you'd like to designate, you can have a race named after you. And the names will be in the program and on the overnight, and you'll present the trophy, quote-unquote. A lot of times it's a glass photo frame mm-hmm. that the winning connections get, and then the name of the race is actually on the win photo. So there's a lot of nice things. I don't think I've ever brought this up as an option for people to consider.
There was one over the weekend at Belmont. That had to have been 50 people.
That's sweet.
I mean, it's great. Just fantastic. I don't know what the occasion was, but they had a ton of people getting the presentation, and I think it was IRAD. And he could not have been any more gracious. He stood with them, and you know, a lot of times the jocks, you know, everyone wants to shake hands and they want to go change, and he was it was noticeable how patient he was and everything else. So that's a good experience.
I'll find the specific link and individual at NYRA for you to reach out to. I'll get that address and I'll put that up actually on Twitter and Facebook, etc. Or if you want to write me an email, happy to do that. Let me slip in a few. Is there anything, Dick, that's pressing that you want to give out while I pull out some news to slide in here before Nicole joins us?
They're going to post for race
six,
I think.
Yeah,
tied now. Joe won two, so Joe and Zach have 132 winners each.
It's amazing that you could go a whole season and those two end up, there was the years where Marrero just ran away from everybody, and then Purton had years where he ran away.
And there's been gaps this year where one would be ahead by 10 or 15, and then, you know, someone would get suspended or someone got hurt, or, you know, Zach missed a lot of time with that injury and Nebu Attack going down in the Longines Sprint in December, and yet he came back, and now he's opened up a little bit, surprisingly, and then Joe's won two, and they're interesting because when the rarely do you see riders stay with horses very long in Hong Kong. Part of it is the weight changes with handicap racing, so a lot of it is, you know, Joe will win a race and Zach rode that horse last time out and vice versa. So I'm sure it is some intrigue going on, and they've all been named for this weekend, so there's no last second rider changes or anything else trying to jump up. But yeah, that's tight and close as could be. I've said it a million times, Steve, if we ever had this kind of wagering, I think wagering on the Saratoga Jockeys Championship, which you don't have to do right the first day, it's a market that would develop throughout the meet, I think that would just attract just unbelievable interest. So maybe someday.
Well, is the light flashing? I don't see the light flashing. Dick,
not yet.
You got a push. I see Durham Star is 2-1, the 6. This for Doug White with Lyle Houston. And Time Storm is 4-1. Now the light's going. Vincent Ho is on Gallant Walking, or Waking, 4-1 as well. That's the 2. So the 2, the 5, and the 6 are your favorites. There's a couple of 8-1 shots. Hero Star with our man Matthew Poon. And that's for KL Menmen. 8-1 on the 10. Hero Star, Eris, the 12 with Teton is, and Frankie Lohr is 8-1 as well.
Matthew, the 10, looks like the speed of the race. So he'll get the lead coming out of that short elbow. The 6 horse Durham Star, Doug White and Lyle Hewitson have won 18 races together at the meet. I mean, they've been just this red-hot combination. Doug White, 13-time leading rider at Hong Kong, took up training a couple of years ago, has 43 wins this year, was pushing 50 for the meet. He's done great, and somehow Hewittson has 25 wins, and 18 of them came with Doug White. So I'll go with the 10 here, Hero Store. I like speed. Turf is firm. It's very hot there. The turf is listed as good to firm. Times have been fast all night. Hopefully Matthew from Post 8 can get up and over and dominate this one.
Here we go.
Well, Hero Star, but Regency Star did too, as did Aries and Time Storm, happy to hold a forward position on the rail. Wood on Fire is pretty wide on the track as Hero Star is going to whip across and lead. After that good start, Regency Star has drifted back three wide around Gallant Waking on the rail and Durham Star the centre.
Yeah, I made the mistake of widening the picture so we can
see it
easy.
It's Hero Star by a neck over Wood on Fire. Time Storm third, Aries fourth, and three wide Regency Star fifth. Gallant Waking is on the rail and Durham Star's in the middle. A length and a half Wind Speeder from Hercules. One length Shadow Runner, Smart Leader, and Perfect Peach is a length away last. Hero Star 400 metres to go. Leads a length, Wood on Fire niggled at. Time Storm third, Aries next from Gallant Waking, and then Regency Star and Durham Star. Hero Star leads a length over Wood on Fire. He's half coming again. Two lengths away, Time Storm. Shadow Runner with a late run. Hero Star the leader. A length, Wood on Fire. Gallant Waking and Shadow Runner. But Hero Star's going to run it out tonight. Hero Star too good for Wood on
How
Fire.
How about that?
Gallant Waking that, third. Shadow Runner fourth. And then Hercules, Durham Star. Next in Time Storm, Regency Star. And then came Wind Speeder, Perfect Peach Smart Leader. And Aries has run last.
Dick, I don't know if people had time to get down on the 8-1, but what a nice performance that was. And he didn't have the lead in the first 150 yards, but then when he took over, he just kept finding more.
Yeah, and his last two, he showed good speed. The time before that was yielding turf, which he hated. So throughout that race, last two were very good. And from Post 8, it almost helped Matthew kind of relax him a little bit because he didn't have to hustle as much as he would if he drew inside going into that little elbow. So, yeah, and turning for home, he looked very relaxed and strong as could be. So sometimes you have the lead in Hong Kong, you're like, oh, no, here they come. And then this one he had the lead, and nope, he was gone.
How about that? I will say one thing. Dick, as big as the pools are, I'm sorry, 8-1 into the gate, 5-1 after the gate open. So don't there is late odds movement, even as big as the pools are in Hong Kong.
Well, that's called in the market a correction.
5-1, and actually Durham Star went off at 9-5, 9-2 on Time Storm. That Gallant Waking 6-1 went up, and so Hero Star looks like what, third choice or fourth choice? Anyway, $12 at least. And let me go back and see if we've got if they've separated, because there was a gaggle of them at the wire. We're going to get a visit in with 10-1-2-7, Dick, the final order of finish. 10-1, that Wood on Fire with Zach Burton.
From Post 12.
Very nice job at 12-1, no less. And then Gallant Waking, 6-1. And what did I say, 7 was 10-1-2-7? And then Shadow Runner 49-1 was fourth. So as it happens, the favorites both run out. So this should be, the exotic should be very, very nice. All right. We're going to hear, got a little quick visit in. And you may have seen yesterday that Declan Carroll was among the jocks. Deck in, of course, riding at Woodbine. But we're going to get a little visit in. He's on his way back to TO as we speak. But we're going to get a firsthand account. I thought that I would be watching for a rider to maybe come by, and we would ask them about their experience on the Wilson configuration. But instead, how about Decky Carroll? We got him, Case? You got him there? No? Not yet? All right. As Casey raises Declan, and I see the magical three dot, the three dots of communication. All right, he's expecting. While we wait for Declan, and then Nicole Russo is going to join us, Pat McKenna as well, and Dick is here. Dick, it's been several years since I bought the paper copy of the Saratoga Player's Guide, but I saw it at USHAC's the other day out in Shushan. For those of you that, and for those of you that are looking for, I don't want to call it a day trip, because Shushan isn't exactly. It's not like driving to New Hampshire, but Shushan is out in the countryside. The greatest deli meat shop. I know everybody falls over themselves for these local meat shops. you go out and see Denny USHAC and look. It's just the normal. It's just the Jason Blewett walking by at Saratoga. That nothing unusual about that. The greatest meats, and
why?
Why? It's a German family. They've been there
cows,
for 75,
right,
75
right
years. The cows are right there. Okay. 75 years, family, second generation, and USHAC's market. Put it on your list. I got an email about non-racetrack experiences. So I have some people asking about their about family and spouses that don't want to come to the track. So I got a few things, including out to Bacon Hill, to Winnie's for blueberries. Blueberries are now. Declan Carroll is on the line. He's on his way back to Toronto, and yesterday part of the Wilson Chute experiment. Decky, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm terrific, this was a good opportunity, and I'm anxious for you to tell everybody what's it like out there. Here's Dylan Davis driving by as well with Meg. Tell us what it feels like, how it's different. You've ridden that Ellis course, so you can really identify with what Ed suggested yesterday.
Yes, I think if you were to look at it from the chute, from the gate, you'd think it's very daunting. You'd probably be like, well, from public reception, you see many people are against it. But in reality, we all felt that it was very smooth. The reason I think we don't want two-year-olds running through that chute right now is because for a two-year-old, as we know, they're very green. So they're going to find that a little sharp, especially when horses are going to be dropping over. But with the gate going to be moved out just a tad, I'm not sure how far they're going to move it out yet and how many horses are going to run. I think for the first race, it's going to be 9 horses, which I think will be just fine. Yesterday, there were 6 of us. We all were communicating, as you could probably hear through the videos, just to kind of be aware of everyone. But no one had real trouble. John Velasquez was on the inside with a, I believe, a first-time starter. But he said his horse was green, and he says his horse handled it well. But he says for a two-year-old, it would be a bit daunting. If you were to refer it to Ellis Park, Ellis, you have a bit longer to get into that first turn, but if you put Ellis's turn into Saratoga, it's very different. As in, if you watch Ellis's 1 mile chute races, usually you see a lot of trouble into that first turn. As people may think, as out of the Wilson chute, they're going to see a lot of issues, horses getting hung out from the outside. I don't think that's going to be an issue at all. And I think most of the riders felt that yesterday. I think this will be something that'll be very utilized once people see many more races run from there. But for right now, I would say they won't run any more than 9, maybe 10, and 3-year-olds and up.
Declan Carroll with us, who was part of that test yesterday to get a feel for horses breaking from the, you know, from the actual chute. Declan, do you get a sense about inside, outside, and you know, how a horse, you know, stalking and making that turn? How sharp is the, you know, is the left hander?
It felt very smooth. I was probably four out. I would like to be on the outside, because you can kind of drift in, drop over, which every rider is, you know, in New York, you know, it's the best colony in the country. I don't think anyone would really disagree with that. These are very experienced riders riding at Saratoga. They're not going to be trying to hurt anyone, and they're going to be all watching out for each other during this first week. So everyone's very aware of how tight it is, but saying that, it's very smooth. I think if you're preferably betting horses for the gamblers, I'd be looking from four out. Just because, you know, the horses on the inside, if you don't have the speed, you are going to have to take back a little. You're going to have to allow the horses to drop over, because as we know in races, it's a very different scenario. We're aggressive. But saying that, I think it's not as daunting as it may look. If you were to just go stand and look, they did a very good job with it.
Well, we appreciate this, and you said to me earlier that you're gonna be coming back, kind of bopping back and forth.
Yes.
How's it going up in Woodbine?
Fortunately enough, I've started off well. Being the new guy, you know, it always takes a little while to break in, but Woodbine's a beautiful track. The facilities are great, and luckily enough, I've had a nice boost from Mr. Cassie, who's put me on some nice horses, and he's helped get my name out here at Woodbine. So it's nice to have the support system.
Well, you're back on Everyday Magic tomorrow for the Conrads and for Mark. And this is a filly, a Tisnow filly, and you actually broke the maiden at the end of June with this filly, 3-year-old, and you actually terrific ride, and you hung a nose on Kaz Kimura.
Yes, no, that really, she should run very well tomorrow. Looking back at that race, she would have won much easier if she just ran a bit straight, but she was still very green. She's still learning. But no, we're looking forward to a big race out of her tomorrow, and I think she'll be very tough in that spot.
Declan Carroll, everybody, and of course, from the Carroll family that is just full of horsemen. Male and female, sister, mother, father, and Dave and Kim and Aislinn and Decky. You can follow Declan at DCJock1. And, Deck, we'll see you when you get back next week. Good luck this weekend at Woodbine. I appreciate this invaluable insight about how the Wilson might play.
I appreciate that very much, Steve. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Declan Carroll, everybody. DC Jock. How fun. Nicole Russo is going to join us next ahead of Pat McKenna coming over. And Dick Powell is with us as co-host. Dick, I think we went, was it last year that we went the whole meet and we couldn't connect? Or was that a few years ago? Dean Reeves, by the way, everybody. Dean Reeves taking time away from his busy Turks and Caicos vacations to come up to Saratoga this summer. We will certainly get a visit from Dean Reeves. I love it. He's in the you know, that's the golf cart's color coordinated with the Reeves. Well, thank goodness.
All right.
Absolute Dean Reeves, everybody.
Every year I say I'm going to stop over, and I never do.
Well, this is established.
But listening to you with all the, you got to go to this place, you got to go to that place. It must be nice not to have kids. there's a lot of positives to it.
we got the grandchildren.
Well, but I'm like, I'm going to these Little League games. First thing, all right, where's the men's room?
That's fun.
Yeah, where's the men's room?
Men's room.
How far away is it?
That's pretty good.
Do they have concessions? Is there anything to eat or drink?
I love it.
Just one thing after another.
Oh, thanks to Declan, and in fact,
that was very interesting, especially four out. And tomorrow, there's a lot of speed on the outside and the Wilton Stakes. So,
that's a good group.
Yes.
Well, I tell you, have you looked at the Coronation yet on Friday?
No.
Oh, Jesus! Coronation Cup is unbelievable, and the Forbidden Apple came up. Fabulous. The stakes all off to a great start. I want to send out that piece that Ed did, and you can fold his information in and the Ellis Park element. And interesting to hear from Declan that he thinks this is a more forgiving and potentially a smoother turn, particularly obviously the first left-hander coming out of the chute. It's going to be interesting, and you certainly have to give the organization, the association, credit for what they did. Bruce Johnstone, the late Bruce Johnstone, who everybody adored and was a fabulous horseman, he advocated it for years and years, and by all rights it's the Bruce Johnstone Wilson Chute. Nicole Russo is standing by, and she joins us now. Nicole can be very elusive, so this is an important visit. Nicole, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Excellent. We're at Saratoga already this morning. Erev Saratoga, as we say, the day before, and we'll be back tomorrow. It's absolutely gorgeous. We're going to see you here this summer.
Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to being up there in a few weeks for the Saratoga sale, the catalog for which was just released this morning. Looks like, some really exciting horses in there. And, the Whitney, the Hall of Fame induction this year, two fantastic mares in Teppan and Beholder both going in. So I'm looking forward to the annual sojourn and seeing some old friends, including old friends at Cabin Creek, where I used to volunteer for many, many years. So, here's my plug. If you're free on a dark day, get out there and see the wonderful, wonderful job that, Joanne Pepper and her team do with these horses.
I saw a picture this morning. I'm not sure who put it up. I saw a commentator. Saw a picture of a commentator out there this morning.
Yes, Whitney Wiener commentator, back in his New York State and living the life out at Cabin Creek Farm about 20 minutes from Saratoga proper. So it's a little, nice little day trip.
Well, and actually, I think as soon as tomorrow, I probably will get also a TRF visit in, because they've got a race named, and there is the big aftercare, day that the entire card and everything around the racetrack will be aftercare related. So plenty of that, and in fact, even ahead of the visit from Pat McKenna, I'm reaching for, well, actually, the three events that I've got in front of me that I want to keep reminding people: the Museum Ball, and Museum Ball is August 12th. Then on August 17th, there's the honoring of Andy Serling. That is going to be a lot of fun. The chaplaincy brunch. And then, of course, the BCCA on Travers Week, Thursday night. The always fabulous BCCA party. So a couple of those. And then, of course, TRF has got the barbecue at the barn. We'll keep you advised of all of these. Nicole, let's talk. I talked yesterday about the Monday Horse of Racing Age sale. Let's focus specifically on the yearlings yesterday and any concerns about economic volatility. They did not seem to affect gavel knocking the last couple of days.
No, and you know, that was really what you heard from people coming in, was that there were kind of dueling factors, you know, in forecasting the market. They said, you know, well, on one hand, we do have all this economic volatility, and you know, Carrie Brogdon even, you know, I mean, she laid it out very well. Look, people need to pay their rent, they need to pay for their health care, they need to buy food, they don't need to buy racehorses. So I think people were certainly nervous about that. But on the other hand, you have, a very strong purse structure right now where people are very enthusiastic to go racing, very enthusiastic to buy young stock, which we saw on Monday as, you know, younger horses, 3 and 2 year olds, dominated the leaderboard at the Horses of Racing Age sale. So kind of these dueling factors, you know, an uncertain economy, but then also, you know, a very good time to buy racehorses and go racing. And we've had a good 2-year-old sale season where people are flush coming in. And, you know, I think people were cautiously optimistic based on the latter set of factors. And, you know, we saw that play out with the improved figures in the yearling sale. And, you know, for sometimes the market takes a little bit of time to establish momentum. So I think for a start to the marketplace, this was, you know, a really, really encouraging sign to see those gains not only in the average, but in the median and with a pretty steady buyback rate, which those are, you know, two key figures, you know, in kind of looking at the health of the market.
In terms of the driving force, it came into the late stages, and in fact, the last horse through the ring, a $600,000 Curlin purchase. This a Gainsway consignee, the Greens DJ Stable, one of four purchases yesterday, and the Greens continue to buy all different kinds of horses. They're active at the 2-year-old sales. They're active at the weanling market. They buy horses ready-made that have already made starts. So yeah. The Greens are so valuable to the industry.
This Curlin colt that they bought, I think, such an interesting pedigree. I mean, chalk him in, you know, for the Belmont Stakes of 2024, because not only is he by Curlin, who's nearly bulletproof in terms of producing stamina, he's a half-brother to Gronkowski, who was second to Justify in the Belmont Stakes, a ton of stamina in the pedigree. And, you know, these two crosses of Smart Strike close up, being by Curlin and out of a mare by Looking at Lucky, that's a really interesting pedigree pattern that we saw, you know, this year with the likes of Rich Strike, who's, you know, by a son of Curlin and out of a Smart Strike mare. So I think that's a very interesting cross.
Well, and even if you go back beyond Four Sugars, the Looking at Lucky dam, who was unraced mm-hmm. herself, that second dam, Iridescence, Flashy Bull, the nice West Point runner that came out of her. You go back in this family, this is the family of Always Shopping and Stop Shopping Maria, Zepessa. So there's actually, if you look around, there's actually a nice mix in here. This could be a grass horse ultimately, maybe, but no matter what, it's a, you know, it's a major player starting the yearling season. It was notable, I thought, Nicole, that there was a lot of reliance on established stallions. Not that the Omaha Beach Filly or the Vino Rosso colt for $250,000 of McPeak and Matoli with a $250,000 filly, but it did seem like proven stallions kind of drove the train yesterday.
Yeah, and, you know, I certainly don't think that that's a surprise. I mean, look, you know, the young stallions did very, very well yesterday. You know, they were showcased, you know, sort of at the beginning of the catalog. You know, certainly in recent years, we've seen some young stallions have breakout performances and, you know, sort of the major market sales. But I think the market does sometimes tend toward proven stock. And, you know, to be a sale topper by a first crop stallion, you've really got to be an outstanding, outstanding individual. So it's no knock on the younger stallions to say that, you know, the proven stallions are sort of the now horses really drove the marketplace. You know, I mean, on top you had Curlin, and then you had, you know, a gun runner, and certainly we're expecting to see some big things from him with the way his runners have just kept performing and performing and performing.
Well, on that topic, when you look at the second crop stallions, how about Bolt Doro with a pair of $240,000 purchases, kind of, you know, in the middle of the top end? There was Hip 214, the colt that Lynn Haven Racing took. Peter Bradley took a filly by Bolt Doro. There was also Kim Valeria. She bought one for DJ Stables, as it happens, for $200,000, a colt out of the strip. That was Hip 206. So the Bolt Doro lightning strikes are really coming with alacrity.
Yeah, and, you know, when you look at Bolt Doro's books of mares, I think one thing that's interesting about him is, you know, typically you kind of see this curve where young stallions get a really outstanding book of mares their first season, as, you know, their farms and their supporters look to get them off on the right foot. And then maybe, you know, the quality and the quantity will dip a couple of years until they prove themselves, you know, both as people wait for them to prove out and both, you know, as they kind of move on to support, you know, their next incoming class of stallions. But Bolt Doro, when you look at his books, I really think that he kept good numbers and kept good quality, you know, all the way through. And certainly now with his first crop, you know, running the way they are, with him having gotten off to such a good start, people are saying, you know, geez, maybe I'd better look at, you know, some of these second crop horses before he continues to perform even better and they start to get out of my price range.
Exactly. Looks like the Vino Rossos are being well received, and in fact, McPeak bought a pair, one for 180 and one for 200, and then one for 250. He bought three of the top Vino Rosso knockdowns.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, we just mentioned, you know, Curlin's branch of the Smart Strike line. You know, Curlin is now, you know, he's got some successful sons at stud, including, you know, Keen Ice with a Derby winner this year. So, and, you know, Curlin has some of his better sons kind of just getting going. Good Magic, Champion Good Magic with his first crop this year. So I think sons of Curlin are going to continue to be very much in demand. And certainly, you know, Vino Rosso, just a, you know, a classic American dirt, classic distance type horse, looks very much like his sire in terms of substance. I think he's going to be a horse that has a lot going for him, especially in upcoming years, again, as this Curlin branch continues to prove itself out.
Looked like Audible got off to a good start with his first yearlings.
Yeah, and, you know, no surprise there. You know, Audible, you know, again, you look at these sire lines and, you know, Into Mischief, you know, obviously, what else can you say about Into Mischief? And he's emerging as a sire of sires, and Audible, you know, a grade one winner and a classic place grade one winner at that, you know, producing very nice horses, very nice, typey, good moving horses. Into Mischief has a couple with, you know, their first yearlings in this class, including Maximus Mischief. And, you know, Maximus Mischief, I think, may be a little bit of a sleeper in this marketplace for, you know, Spendthrift standing alongside his sire. He's throwing horses, you know, where looks-wise, they're very typical of the line. So I think, you know, maybe they're not going to be, you know, sort of the sales toppers, but I think if we look at, you know, the middle marketplace and start to get a larger sampling from some of these first crop sires, you know, at Keeneland September, at the October sales, I think he's going to be an interesting horse to watch.
There were, you know, certain notable individual sellers, something I'm sure will come up in the next hour when we're joined by Sid, when we do Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hillandale. And speaking of Hillandale, Liz Crow and the... Barry Weisbord, or Brad, I should say, Weisbord and Liz Crow bought a World of Trouble filly, $170,000, and World of Trouble, the $7,500 stallion. So a big multiple there, and I saw a few summer fronts that sold well, and Upstart, you know, was getting runners, you know, some of those kinds of stories. Who else? Good Samaritan, interesting. Starlight bought a colt for $130,000. some other names.
Good Samaritan is very, very interesting to me, you know, because we keep talking about Into Mischief, Sire of Sires. Well, Into Mischief, you know, by Harlan's Holiday, the sire of Good Samaritan. And Good Samaritan, one of these horses that could run on both dirt and turf. And I think those types of horses are starting to get more traction in the marketplace. And so Good Samaritan is a, you know, he's got his first two-year-olds this year. He's a very interesting horse to me in the coming years to see what his offspring ultimately do.
Well, it certainly felt like a robust start to the yearling market. And you mentioned that the Saratoga catalog was released online today.
Yes. It was just released this morning, and you know, we're just paging through, and I think I see, you know, a full sibling to Mia Mischief in there, and you know, some other grade one winning mares, and you know, I mean, we're really I'm just getting my first page through look at it now, and you know, certainly we'll expect the New York bred Saratoga sale catalog in the upcoming days here. That follows the select sale by about a week, so a lot of activity. This is really a fun time of year for me because this is, you know, sort of like the pro sports draft, trying to look at these horses and prognosticate what they're going to do a year from now, 2 years from now. And, you know, it's really a lot of fun to look at some of these young horses.
Always great to connect with Nicole Russo, the Daily Racing Form, and the breeding and sales coverage. And then when they let her do racing coverage, a very savvy opinion when she gets those assignments from the office. Nicole, look forward to seeing you here. We're going to get you on TV, too, on Loose on the Lead. And I appreciate the July sale recap.
Thank you, Steve. I'll see you all in Saratoga.
Nicole Russo, everybody, from the Daily Racing Form. And here he is. That's me. That's my car, and it's running because, I'm using the Wi-Fi from my car.
Really?
Yes. Donnie said that he said the Wi-Fi, they're working on the network, and so they're turning it off, turning it on.
Yep.
And my car is a...
Your car is Wi-Fi equipped.
It's the
with big, enough power to support...
The show.
The show. That's incredible.
It's the biggest hotspot, portable hotspot that I've ever seen.
Wow. You should get in touch with the makers of the Chevy Impala.
The last of the Impalas, and that was my first car as a kid, 71 Impala.
Okay.
And this is my current Impala. I'm sort of a sucker that way. Had three Bonnevilles before they were retired, and Pontiac went the way of the Pontiac tribe. I will hang on to that one as long as I can.
Good. Good to see you.
Pat McKenna, everybody.
Good morning, Pat.
Morning.
I was watching a Hong Kong race. Just got nosed out, but I did bet him the place.
All right. We'll talk about the upcoming last pair from Happy Valley for the season. Hong Kong winds down, and Saratoga gears up. And, Pat, I guess we have to... The cleanup on aisle three, wrapping up the Belmont season. I saw some numbers got released yesterday.
Yep. Average daily handle continues to go up. It's up nearly 23% since 2019. Four fewer race days than last year, so that accounts for the roughly $40 million drop in total all sources handle. But business fingers were strong yet again. So, you know, a little bit of a decline in field size, as I'm sure your viewers or listeners are well aware, but you know, turn the page and here we are at the old spa.
Anything else from Belmont that you want people to know as we turn the focus up here?
It sort of seems like ancient history, to be honest with you. I've been up here since Monday, and we're looking ahead.
You're already 8 miles down the road.
Absolutely.
Well, then let's get some of the Saratoga formalities here. I was prepared in terms of I guess I can
stack of information we released over the last couple of days.
Yes, I'm always.
I was at the Wilson shoot yesterday morning, and it never ceases to amaze the interest and enthusiasm around everything that's happening, especially this week when people are really eager for for anything that resembles live racing. There had to have been 200, 250 people there at the shoot watching six riders break from the gate to go around the turn. But it was fun. It always reminds you just what a special place it is when that kind of a thing happens. I joke that we should have sold tickets.
Well, all you have to do is think back to American Pharoah's Friday gallop that turned into a workout.
Yep.
14,000 people.
Yeah.
20,000.
I think more like 20.
20. 14 was, I think, at Parks when Smarty Jones galloped.
20 was stuck in traffic trying to get.
Yeah. I think the traffic was worse that day than Travers Day.
Unbelievable.
But it's fun. So we're certainly ready. Again, some of the formalities, the new paddock bar and paddock suite, it's pretty spectacular. I think people will be really pleased with the upgrades and improvements that we've made to that facility, which is a fan favorite for so many. It's certainly where I would spend a day at Saratoga as a fan if I could. So it's really nice. They did a fantastic job. Remember, such a tight window to get these huge capital improvement projects done. I mean, they're starting as soon as the last truck pulls out of here on Labor Day. Obviously, you can't account for what the winter might look like, but when you think about it, it's really just 4 or 5 months to do these things. I mean, the fact that 1863 club got built in 7 months, basically, it's pretty remarkable. So a credit to the facilities team here, to Glenn, and all of the folks that reopen this place every year.
The consternation, the teeth gnashing and hand wringing over the paddock bar. It's amazing to me that whenever there's any, it's the strangest dialectic. you're supposed to maintain the historic ambiance. But you're not supposed to provide any of the necessary infrastructure or support mechanism that the modern patron
right.
and player and
right.
visitor wants. So I don't know how you universally keep everybody happy on
well,
that
you,
front.
You can't, but I think what we've successfully done is balance the history and traditions of this venue, which is paramount, with providing fans differentiated kinds of experiences, additions rather than subtractions. We're never taking anything away. You know, the backyard is the backyard. The clubhouse box is the grandstand. Those are important pieces of this mix. But something like the new paddock suite, it's an option for large groups. The paddock bar itself will be able to accommodate more people, not less. Gets you actually much closer to the paddock. I think when people wander around there tomorrow, they will quickly realize that it's an improvement. It's a significant improvement. And we all like the old paddock bar, but the fact of the matter is those temporary tents are labor-intensive. They're expensive to maintain,
to store.
They don't look very good.
No.
So, yeah, that's been a focus. And I think that the property has never looked better. And the upgrades, the additions are a big part of that. And it's also a really big part of sustaining the success and even the growth, which is incredible to say. But welcoming 1 million-plus fans every year, handle numbers obviously enormous. And all of these improvements sort of, in fact, meet the expectation of the fan that there's always something new and improved here at Saratoga.
Well, and when you think about the change at the end of the grandstand, that was basically dead space,
yep.
Except for one Saturday out of 40 days. Then you had a dead parking space around this first turn that very cleverly pulled from the hunt meet concept,
yep.
Of tailgating. That has been a big success and doesn't take away from anything for anybody. That's a completely new enhancement and was even more successful, I think, than anybody expected.
You're right. The stretch, which is what you're describing, at the final turn, that area really ushered in so many of these recent guest enhancements. So you have the stretch, the spa verandas, the 1863 club, the new paddock bar. We've done a lot of work to the actual structure itself, to ensure its integrity for decades to come. That those are investments and improvements that the fan might not notice, but are just as important as everything else. Even this mutual building that we're sitting under, brand new roof, all of these things take an enormous amount of time, energy, and investment, which is why, but that's, you know, that's our responsibility as stewards of this facility.
And we should mention, as a historic property, that means if you're going to put a new roof on, like I'm dealing with in Greenwich, it's slate. So go find first of all, guys that have to be booked probably 3 years out,
right,
to get a slate expert to come up and put a slate roof up.
Yeah, and everything we do requires the approval of the Saratoga Historic Preservation Society before we get the approval of New York State OGS. So not unlike everything else, it's a highly regulated process.
Pat McKenna with us, Dick Powell standing by, and we are 24 hours out. Any elements that need to be addressed here as
sure,
we get
yeah.
ready?
You know what? I was just remembering. Sam the Bugler will not be joining us this year, so don't be surprised.
Ooh.
Sam is unfortunately working through some health issues,
and
we'll spend the summer down in Florida. Best wishes to Sam, but we do have two fantastic new buglers who will play tomorrow and Friday, and then the rest of the meet. Not two every day, but a couple of it's a father and son. They started a band called 10 Most Wanted. Check them out. Hit the Google on those guys because they are incredible, and we'll look forward to that. But wanted, you know, Sam is such a staple here that certainly don't want people to be surprised when you do not see him playing the trumpet this summer.
What are their names? What are the father and son? Do we?
Yeah.
Is there a press release?
There's not. No, there'll be some coverage. We haven't gotten to a press release yet. 10.
And I assume they named it after the DeLozzi winner, right?
Right. That's what came to my mind, but you know, this is the world I live in.
The great Travers winner for the late Wally DeLozzi,
who won on the most crowded day in Saratoga history.
Well,
we've gone through that before.
Well, because we were expecting Funny Side and Empire Maker, and we got neither.
And somehow 66,000 people
still thronged the place.
Tony Gambaro, who is part of this band, 10 Most Wanted, he's a lifetime, not lifetime, but he spent his adulthood in Saratoga, local. And his son,
Anthony Jr.
It's not Anthony Jr.
Come on. It's Tony Gambaro. How is it not Anthony Jr.? It's got to be AJ.
Apologies to
it's AJ.
Tony's son.
We're going to call him AJ.
So that was something that invariably would come up.
Oh,
so that's
would,
what's
absolutely.
Going on with Sam.
Best wishes to
Sam.
Yeah,
found some really, really competent professional replacements for this summer. Trying to think about what else. We'll be doing a ceremonial groundbreaking on the new Backstretch Health Clinic in about an hour.
Oh, wow.
Yep, which was made possible through the efforts of John Hendrickson to carry on the legacy of
wow.
Mayor LeWhitney. So that will be a brand new health clinic on the backside, operated in partnership between Saratoga Hospital and Best. And we're so fortunate here in New York to have nonprofits on the property who are providing comprehensive healthcare services, social services for the Backstretch community. So that will be a nice celebration of what has taken many, many years to come to fruition.
Is it going to be built over by?
It's across from the Mary Lou Whitney Pavilion.
From the
It'll
pavilion.
Be called the
okay.
Backstretch Health Clinic
okay.
to avoid any confusion. So that area of the Backstretch now, you have Faith's House, the Mary Lou Whitney Pavilion,
right.
obviously the offices of the various nonprofits, and by hopefully April of 2023, you will have a brand new, gleaming health clinic. So it'll be an appropriate
right.
place, a much, much bigger space than where we currently operate it, which is out of a double-wide trailer.
Well, that's an enhancement, obviously, and
absolutely.
I know that you want to implore everyone speaking of backstretch, the honoring of Andy Serling.
Yeah.
I didn't bring this up with him yesterday on the air. I'll have plenty of opportunity. But Wednesday, August 17th, mark your calendars.
Sure.
10 to noon, so before the race day.
That's right.
$150 for a ticket. It's at Saratoga National.
Yep.
And
most importantly, yes, all proceeds go to the New York Racetrack Chaplaincy.
Exactly. And Humberto Chavez and his team, and Andy being honored. He has been so generous with them. And Andy, one of those that gives generously and regularly and anonymously.
That's right.
And so he was probably embarrassed a little bit. And as I mentioned earlier, the BCCA, one of the best party opportunities of any year, is Thursday of Travers Week, and it's going to be at the Universal Preservation Hall on Washington Street in Saratoga this year, and it's a fabulous, fabulous night. The Belmont Child Care Association and Michael Dubb and Libby Imperio, Libby has done, just an unbelievable job over the years. A couple of other things, Pat, I don't know what from this roster you want to, if there's anything in there that you want to include.
Second annual New York Thoroughbred Aftercare Day. That was a day that that NYRA, NYTHA, and the breeders organized and developed last year for the first time. It's a good way to educate and inform the general public, especially about all that we do here in New York to lead the way when it comes to responsibly rehoming, retraining thoroughbreds when their racing days are done. So, people like Rick Schossberg, Andy Belfiore, so many of our New York trainers who are committed to these efforts. Again, it's something that doesn't necessarily get the attention that it probably deserves, but this is a shared responsibility among all stakeholders in New York, owners, trainers, NYRA, everyone involved in the game. So that's something to circle on the calendar. Breakfast at Saratoga is back. People should obviously pay attention to that. The Breakfast and Breeding
Friday,
Farm Tour.
Friday tours.
I understand the tickets are going fast, to say the least. So we hope that there's still some inventory and availability. But if not, pay a visit to Walt Borsniak and the Old Tavern Farm, because it's a spectacular place that they have done just an amazing job of restoring to its past glory. So that's a cool thing.
But while you look, Carson Gambaro is the son.
You were close.
Apologies, Carson.
We're still going to call him AJ. I'm sorry. Unless there he is, the one and only, the Shina, who is donating 20% to both Cabin Creek and to the Disabled Jockeys Fund.
I can break some news that NYRA will match all of those donations this year.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's tremendous. And this is one of the great stories of, for those of you that are we'd like to get shines. Our man had been in the 90s, right? How many years? You were here for years. 60s and 70s. Took a hiatus and then has come back. It's unbelievable. Like a long lost Jerkins son, maybe.
I know.
Fifth Jerkins son. There it is, Bob Wilson.
Oh, nice.
I love it.
I frequent that chair from time to time. It's hard to get a shine these days.
They line up.
Yeah.
They line up.
Exactly.
And I got to meet Bob Bob, it's what? It's been like 3 years now.
Yep. Is it really?
Yeah. To 19, to the pre-pandemic.
Pre-pandemic. I would be remiss if I didn't give a hearty plug to the working reporters that are and will be providing so much important information.
You mean Dave Grenning?
Dave Grenning, the dean, as well as
he's the provost.
Our stalwarts, Mike McAdam, Tim Wilkin will be here in a different capacity, not working for the Times Union, but still covering the spa, and so many others up there. So it's a privilege to be able to work with professionals who are We're out here every morning, noon, and night delivering the facts and telling the stories of the spa.
And one other story, of course, to mention. I did this the other day, and I tried to get it in with Andy yesterday at the end of his visit, but some interesting wrinkles on the betting front as well.
Yeah.
That will be well, I think, well received.
Yeah, head to NYRA.com for all that good information. We couldn't possibly distill it all in our conversation. But
I do want to remind everybody, Saturday, the weekly Saturday contests, there's also the low roller contest that is really fun, that Seth Merrow will win ultimately.
He has won it, yes.
Yeah, so there's lots of... You went through, and you didn't mention our show. You didn't mention Loose on the Lead as one of your media favorites.
Sorry about that. Yep, OTB back in action on the backstretch there. Backside. How do you describe where they are? By the Harrow Yard.
By the Harrow Yard. by the wash pit of that the under Clare Court.
Across from the Mexican Connection, kitty
yes.
corner
yeah,
from the
go.
Horseshoe.
There you go. The newly rebooted.
That's what I hear. I don't get
it's
to
unbelievable.
Get out there at
all. See it.
Yeah,
we went over to Pinnell's, and wait till you see what they did at Horseshoe.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Anything else new in town? I'm embarrassed to say it. I have not been out and about at all.
Know. Dick doesn't know. Dick,
I live here. I don't know.
I went
know
to the Brook Tavern with my sister and my niece last night. It was great.
Haven't been there.
No?
Not lately. Not.
Okay.
Where did we, Tina? Oh, Andy and I had lunch. Now I guess we can reveal it now. We ended up at local. Which I hadn't been to in ages.
On the west side?
Behind Dave Harmon's West Side Cafe, and before Roma, now known as Cardona Market. But I hadn't been to local in ages. It was very good.
Good.
Very good.
The last time I was there was when we had to cancel due to heat in, what would that have been, 2019?
Probably, yeah.
That Monmouth ran and had their issues.
Oh, my God.
But that was the last time I was there. I remember it was, yeah.
We were down with Tina and I were at, and I'll be at Monmouth next week, of course, for Haskell. Tina and I were down there, and you know they postponed the start of the card till 6 o'clock, 6:30, and we went to the beach. We just headed to the beach, and it was brutal. And you know, we just came back from this trip where it was 101 every day. Crazy, but the heat, when it's hot here like that, it's very difficult.
I've had friends come up from New Orleans and say they couldn't believe it.
No, it's a different.
You would
kind.
Think they would be used to it, and when
knock
we
on
get
wood
that
for great weather,
when we get that heat and humidity,
weekend, we'll take it. Yeah, this is
today,
ideal.
Tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, all going to be absolutely glorious.
Anyway, appreciate you having me on,
Pat.
Good luck,
first
everyone,
of many,
and everyone out there, good luck.
We will have a lineup, a regular weekly visit from you and from Dave O'Rourke,
sure.
And I talked to Frank Gabriel today, who's never been on with me.
Okay,
all right.
Yeah, sounds good.
Outstanding, Pat McKenna, everybody, PC McKenna.
Happy almost opening day.
And I will not use the picture that I've used so often. New visuals.
Thank you.
New visuals of Pat McKenna coming this year.
All right. See ya.
Pat McKenna, everybody. Hey, Pat. Dick Powell's here. Pat, let me get a picture of you with Dick. It'll make it easier. And Mike Welch is going to also come in here, stand up, the two of you. There we go. There we go. All right, Dick and Pat, and we're going to see about Welchie. Let's do this. Let's take our first break. Sid is going to join us shortly, and I look forward to Sid coming up here, and we'll do a live with Sid this year again as well. All right, back after this. We're live at Saratoga, and that was a frenetic 70 minutes, Dick. We still have got, you got your nightcap, right? The last race of the season at Happy Valley in a little bit.
I think we might have another one too.
All right, well,
at 8 and 9,
Mike Welch is going to pop in for a minute and give a push for the Daily Racing Form Clocker Report. I forgot to text you. There's Dick Powell, who of course you know. Mike, here we are again.
Great to be back. A little sad not to see that barbecue stand over there.
I appreciate it. Everyone misses Carolina barbecue. I agree.
But no, it's always, you know, it's the greatest meet on earth. It's hard to not like it, even if you lose. It's not that bad. But always better if you win.
You're of course going to pick up the ball and go on with the accumulated info from downstate at Belmont and give everybody the layout for the Clocker Report from Saratoga.
Yeah, the first edition, it may actually be out now. I sent it in this morning to be edited, so I don't know when they're going to post it, but that's already up. I love when they draw the entries, you know, 5 or 6 yeah. days ahead of time. It really gives us a heads up. Saturday won't be drawn till today, so that won't be out till Friday. We might be able to get Friday out sometime later today or early tomorrow.
It's up.
Okay. We started off a little slow at Belmont. It's a tough track to cover with only one guy. And
true.
With those two tracks there, you really need, you know, two full-time guys, plus Dave Grenning, who does an excellent job helping out. But we've had two up here now for over a while. I was over at Belmont, too, before I came over here. So things are going to definitely pick up. All these two-year-olds that are working. I mean, you look at the work tab, and it looks like 60% every day are unstarted two-year-olds. So that's what the meet is mostly about, you know, that and the big, you know, obviously the bigger races. But for handicappers, horse players, I think the two-year-olds are really what they look forward to here. I think the Clocker Report is a big help.
Well, and speaking of the two-year-olds, I saw where an unusual occurrence. Usually it's Jay Privman's Del Mar two-year-olds to watch. That's the first Clip and Save article out of DRF. In fact, Dave Grenig's two-year-olds to watch has dropped, and I'll cover that with Dave probably tomorrow or Friday.
Yeah, no, Dave does a great job. He gets the lowdown on all the big outfits, and I know Todd is totally loaded. I mean, he's got just tons and tons of babies up here, but obviously so does Chad. Steve Asmey just got in about a week ago. He had one work out of the gate yesterday that looked pretty good. You know, eagerly looking forward to those two-year-old races every overnight that comes out. Starts a little slow Thursday with a short field, but I'm sure it's going to pick up pretty quickly in that regard.
Anything to report? Ian Wilkes rolling by. Any thoughts? Did you watch the drill yesterday? We had Declan Carroll give us some insight on the Wilson shoot.
Yeah, look, everything looked like it went just fine. But, you know, it was only 6 horses that aren't in a race, you know, like trying to knock heads and beat each other to spots and whatever. It still remains to be seen what happens. We'll see quickly, though. There's a 9-horse field tomorrow coming out of there. And hopefully it'll go without incident. And then at that point, I guess the riders will make a decision whether it's safe enough to run 10 or if they think it needs to be, you know, cut back to 8 for safety purposes. So that, I think that decision will be made after the race tomorrow.
You mentioned that two-year-old race, and I see where you gave, it's the second race tomorrow, and it's a little interesting because there is the Wesley Ward runner that has started, then there's Firsters, including Chocolate Gelato, who by pedigree felt like a horse that might be a down-the-road type, but I see a B-plus work from July 7th.
Yeah, it was company kept there with Goddess Fire. You know, hung right in with the stake filly. So, you know, you got to, I always give them a little extra credit. When they,
on Sirius XM Radio.
Betting on. How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is natural.